Thank you so much, Lois. What a powerful, powerful integration of both Parker's work and your deep and profound experience. Really, really appreciate it. We're going to change things up a little bit. We want to give you a chance to respond to Lois's talk, and we thought a valuable way to do that would be to kind of quickly get you into dyads to help you just share, you know, what's one thing that touched you about Lois's talk. So in a moment, we're going to do that. We wanted to acknowledge, we're going to be going into, we sent you, you know, very familiar, I think, to many of you, what we call our touchstones. We'll go into those later. We want to acknowledge that this is an amazing group of people, very, very well trained in what it means to hold presence for each other and listen deeply. So just a couple guidelines as you get into these dyads is to remember to give each other both time to share. It's not really a conversation initially, but take turns sharing. What touched you about Lois's talk? Share the time, and we'll remind you of confidentiality. And so Nancy is going to post in the chat the question, and then Tim is going to put us into dyads for a few minutes of sharing.
Great.
Yeah, Georgia, we'll be in those breakout groups for 5 or a little under 5 minutes, just so you can judge your sharing time as you listen to each other.
Yeah, so it's about 10:35 now. I see that question in the chat there for everybody. Hopefully you can access that. It's what touched you in Lois's talk. Listen to each other without interruption or comment. We should be back in here around 10:41 or so to continue the conversation. So you've been assigned to a group of two. As Georgia said, there's a dyad. And make sure that you unmute, click the unmute button so that you can hear each other. And you'll be automatically brought back here around 10:41. So here we go.
Room 15, so we'll join that group.
Well, welcome back, everyone, and thank you so much for that little experiment. What we'd like to do now, and I'm going to put Tim kind of in charge of this, is we have just a few minutes for at least one, maybe two people to share anything that you might be willing to share with the whole group. Any insights or ahas you got from the sharing or from Lois's talk? And you can wave or, you know, raise your hand, let Tim know that you would like to speak.
Yeah, it's just as a reminder, you're able to click on the participants button and you can click a raise hand feature if you'd like to say something, or you're welcome to type something in the chat to follow Georgia's prompt for sharing.
Okay, I'll say something. Everybody's so quiet.
I know, right?
What I got from it is that we really need to all work together. And I did get to talk to Lois in a small group, but it can't be us versus them. And we need, the beauty of our system is that it works swinging back and forth and not just being stuck on there's only one right way to do anything in our country, in our democracy. And to me, that's a huge gift and a huge hope and promise, although I feel our country is pretty darn stuck right now.
Thank you, Anna.
I'm going to join in if I can. Mm-hmm. I just want to thank Lois. That was so beautiful and so profound from the heart. I really, really resonated with me. And what I found was a great sense of hope. And I didn't sleep very well last night or the last few nights, just worrying and thinking about this. And I just feel fed with hope. And not only the sense that we have these people that are actually working and prayerfully behind the scenes and holding that tension, that there are those folks that are doing this work in our government and in Congress, but also that really practicing going into the heart and holding that gap, because I do believe that we can make a difference just with our heartfelt intention. So I want to thank you again profoundly for giving us that sense of hope that, in the words of St. Teresa of Avila, all shall be well. And we just have to look at the long term, but we do have that mechanism in place. So thank you.
Okay, one more. Hannah. You need to unmute yourself, Hannah.
Got it. My partner and I had a discussion about standing in the gap and putting it together with the heart of democracy and sensitivity and awareness of issues. How does Lois, this is a question for Lois, how does Lois compute all this standing in the middle or standing in the gap when things can be such a sport and so extreme? How does she keep centered in the heart in that environment?
I don't do it any differently now than I did when I was serving in Congress, and what I did for the 60, I was not in Congress until late in my life. And what I had to rely on, which I was grateful for, is the lifetime of making certain choices, not all of them good, and not in Congress either, but it's the grounding that happens over time. But that's not an answer, Hannah. And Parker Palmer evokes that in us to realize that that's where our connection lies. We all stand in a gap of one sort or another. Mm-hmm. And when we think we're all by ourselves, it's like the parable or the story, Jesus standing in the boat, and when you look, the disciples looked over the side and then they were afraid they would sink. But you keep your, well, what is the phrase? Eyes on the prize. If you keep focused on the goal. But that's something I have to tell myself every day. I'm sure somebody else give an example of a time for that. That's the best part of democracy. It's nothing special. It's just like how we carry out our life, choices we make. And trust we have to put into others. And sometimes wishing we didn't, and sometimes thinking this is the worst, you know? But there's hope. There's always the kid standing on the Capitol steps who says, oh, I got it.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
I'm sure you all have better examples.
Which is a wonderful segue into our next piece here. And we're really excited about being able to take these habits of the heart and go deeper with them and share from our own experiences. And so at this point, I'm gonna turn it over to Nancy, who is gonna take you the next step in our process together.
Lois, thank you for introducing us into this shared work. And as Georgia has touched upon, that we're really inviting you all over these next four additional weeks to practice and embody these habits. And I apologize, I'm seeing that I might have an unstable connection here, but I'm hopeful that you can hear me. Maybe somebody wants to wave. Let me know I'm still good here.
You're good, Nancy.
Thank you, Tim. The circle of trust touchstones. As we journey together over these next several weeks, the touchstones is in the phrase that Parker Palmer likes to use, is we create a container for this safe exploration. And as Georgia mentioned earlier today, we know that you all are well practiced in these, but these are that have been sent to you. So we just wanted to lift them up very briefly to choose for yourself and how to participate. Make space for silence and reflection. Embrace differences. No fixing. I love to fix other people's problems, but no fixing. When the going gets rough, turn to wonder. That means when I have reactions, I wonder about my reaction. What is my reaction telling me? And we observe confidentiality. We'll be practicing these touchstones throughout the coming weeks together. And I want to just show you again the five habits of the heart. Lois did such a wonderful job of introducing these to us. These are a package deal. They're all woven together to create what he would say is a living democracy, just as Tocqueville described this. An understanding we're all in this together. We're going to explore that a little bit the remainder of the day. The value of otherness. The ability to hold tension in life-giving ways. The sense of personal voice and agency, and the necessity to create community. So we'd encourage you to keep those handy. Print them out. We've sent them to you. Keep them available. Stick them on your refrigerator door, perhaps, or on the door where you walk outside when you go for a daily walk. We'd like you to keep those right in front of you every day. We're going to now just move into this habit. And Georgia, I'm going to just bring that up onto the screen and ask you to read that aloud for us.
First habit. An understanding that we're all in this together. Despite our illusions of individualism and national superiority, we humans are a profoundly interconnected species, entwined with one another, with all forms of life, as the global, economic, and ecological crises reveal in vivid and frightening detail. We must embrace the simple fact that we are dependent upon and accountable to one another. And that includes the stranger, the alien other.
Thank you, Georgia. You know, I was thinking about coming up with an example of something that reminds me concretely about this interconnection. And I was reminded just an hour before we started our call, I'm actually joining us all from, I'm in Philadelphia, so I'm in an urban area, hear all those urban sounds outside my window. But I was reminded of the work of the Adolph Bucket Brigade in Santa Barbara right now. And we know this wonderful work that they did is really helping Santa Barbara and Montecito move the mountain out of Montecito when we experienced the severe debris flow. 805 Bucket Brigade right now is organizing neighborhoods and community members to share in the growing of gardens. So if you have space in a garden, if you have garden, if you have produce, if you want to work on a team, and they're bringing people to community through this connection with a deep understanding, an understanding that growing our food locally is actually serving the interconnection of our entire planet and all the species and all of our neighbors. It recognizes the food instability that our neighbors right in our community are experiencing. I wanted to raise that up as an example of putting this habit into practice, this interconnection on a very deep level. George, I'll turn it to you now.
So where we're headed is we're going to go back into groups for more discussion and really trying to delve into this habit that we're all in this together. We're going to, in just a moment, Tim is going to play for you a video that is about this first habit. And as you watch it, perhaps it might touch in you. Where do you in your life experience this basic interconnectedness of life? We're going to watch the video and then we'll go into groups after that.
When I was a little girl, my Uncle Ed gave me a blue sweater that had zebras in the foreground and Mount Kilimanjaro right across the chest, and I wore it every day, including into my freshman year in high school when my adolescent curves were shifting the contours of the sweater. And I think that there's a humiliating moment that comes in every adolescent girl's life, and mine was when my high school nemesis one day yelled across the hall that the boys no longer had to go skiing in the mountains, they could just ski on the contours of this sweater on my chest. Feeling great humiliation, I ran home to my mother. We ceremoniously dumped the sweater in the Goodwill, and I thought I would never have to see it again. Fast forward 10 years, about 5,000 miles, I had left my career on Wall Street and was working in Kigali, Rwanda, with a small group of women to start the country's first microfinance bank, make small loans to poor women. When I was jogging through the streets and lo and behold, 10 yards in front of me, I see a little boy, pipsqueak, knobby knees, wearing my sweater. So I run up to the child, grab him by the collar, turn it over, and there's my name. And I've held that story as a metaphor for how interconnected we are, how our action and our inaction can impact people we might never know and never meet every day of our lives all around the world. In many ways, finding that blue sweater on that boy in Rwanda was the beginning of my journey, a journey that included returning to Rwanda after the genocide to discover that the women with whom I had worked had played out every conceivable role of the genocide, from watching their families being killed to being murdered themselves to being major perpetrators. A journey that included realizing that there had to be a better way to solve problems of poverty and starting Acumen Fund, an organization that delivers affordable basic services like water, healthcare, housing to very poor people in South Asia and Africa and has already reached tens of millions of people with services they otherwise wouldn't be able to access. When you read The Blue Sweater and accompany me on that journey, if you will, what I would hope is that it's just the beginning of a conversation that you have around your own journey. And my dream is that together we imagine a world where we finally can extend the fundamental principle that all men are created equal to every human being on the planet.
Okay. So the way this will work is Nancy is going to post that basic question, when do you feel most aware of your interconnection to an interdependence on other people? And Tim will get us into triads. Mostly you might wind up because some of our singles or doubles, et cetera. And you'll have just a moment as you're transitioning and when you first come into your group, perhaps just pause for a moment to give yourself a moment to reflect on that question. And then do your sharing together. Again, you'll have about 12 minutes. And so share the time and remember to one person speaks and everyone else listens. And Tim will take us from here.
Sounds good. So you're going to be in a group of three or four, just because we don't have even numbers necessarily with the algorithm. And like Georgia said, there might be a couple people in one screen, but you'll have about 15 minutes to toss around this question that Nancy's pasted in the chat. When do you feel most aware of your interconnection to and interdependence on other people? Remember to reflect in silence for a minute and then share with each other, dividing the 12 minutes between your breakout partners. Okay. You're going to be in a new group this time as well, just a heads up. So ready, go.
Well, welcome back, everyone. And what rich sharing. And we're headed toward giving you your homework. We really want to focus in on how to make these habits more real in your life. But before we get there, we have a little time, just a couple minutes. Again, if anyone would be willing to share an insight, old or new, something that you're taking away from that sharing that we just did or anything from our morning so far. If you can just, in the participant piece, raise your hand or raise your hand and then Tim will help with the sharing here. We'll do this for just a few minutes.
Absolutely. And you're also welcome to type a question or a comment in the chat as well, if that's easier for you. One that I will share from earlier was that Catherine Weisenberg had reflected that Lois's talk was so full of hope and it was so inspirational. It was like a palm tree and an umbrella drink in what seems like a dry and arid political landscape. So she said, thank you, Lois, for your talk. I see lots of smiles in the Zoom room after that comment.
Yeah, so. Yeah, definitely.
It's Maura. I'm struck by Lois speaking about the importance of service as a place to land during a time of personal tragedy. That's such a huge lesson. I feel it's so easy to withdraw when we're, in a personally tough time. So I'm inspired by her being in service to her community and also the importance of passing on the fabric of democracy to the next generation. That gives me a sense of hope to hear that. So I just want to say thank you.
This is Peggy. I'd like to say something. Hello.
Hi, Peggy.
Catherine said it beautifully, but I would just like to say that I feel so light. I feel lighter. I feel positive. I feel hope. All coming from Parker Palmer, of course, and Lois's presentation and all of our breakout rooms. Everyone was smiling and laughing and it's such a wonderful feeling, a wonderful gift. Thank you so much.
Mm-hmm.
Jim, I'd like to add on to that. Lois, I think we all are feeling a lot lighter since your talk, and we were feeling pretty heavy. The fact that you recognize or brought to our mind that this is the world's oldest democracy, and therefore we're going to make most mistakes because there's so we've been at it so long. And the other uplifting thing you said, there's always the next election. That was so powerful for me. But thanks, Lois.
I see Ingrid Scott's got a hand up there. And so Ingrid, if you would just want to unmute, you can share whatever you'd like to share.
I just want to share that it occurred to me, and we talked about this a little bit in the breakout room, that if we scratch the surface of anybody we meet, if we were in a room with anybody from wherever they live, and we got to talking, there would be a commonality. And we're so, this polarized time, we're so involved in finding the differences that there's a human commonality that we all share. And I think that's a grounding realization for me. So thank you.
Judith Mueller, I saw that you had your hand up for a moment too. Is there anything that you'd like to share, or have you since put it down?
I already shared.
No, Judith Mueller.
Oh.
Yeah. You have to unmute if you want us to hear you. There you are.
I think I've sort of forgotten, but it had to do with seeing everybody smile on the Zoom screen.
Oh, your audio cut out there, Judith. Sorry to interrupt, but I don't know what happened there.
Yeah.
And be obvious of their...
Oh. There you are.
We have to be obvious about our friendliness because we can't smile at people for them to see us smiling. So I don't know if we should wear a sign that says, instead of open and close, we should wear a sign that says smiling, turn it around, say not smiling, smiling, so people will know how interdependent we are on facial expressions and who the other person is, their eyes and their mouth and the whole face.
Okay, I see Yoli's got her hand up as well. So Yoli, go ahead.
Thanks, Tim. One of the phrase or one of the words that stick into my mind is the word humility that Lois Capps had emphasized on the five habits. And without humility, it's hard to be able to serve other people. And healing democracy, we have to have a big heart. We have to be able to be humble enough to be connected and recognize other people. And also, just before I end up, I just want to say a belated thanks to Lois Capps and the late Walter Capps. They were the ones who, they walked the talk about humility. And I used to see them at the old mission before when Father Virgil Cordano was still there. And I had tapped Walter Capps, and they were the ones who helped my mother become a US citizen. And she, within 3 months after I had mentioned it to Walter Capps that my petition has been over 1 year, which was got forgotten because other people who were petitioning had lawyers to help them. I didn't have a lawyer, and it was the late Walter Capps who helped my mother. And so I want to thank the Capps for all of the things they have done for their constituents and for other people. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Okay. I wanted to just share as a transition piece here, Christine, to everyone. We talked about this in our group, just the way that COVID has, in a very real way, helped us feel more interconnected. As we experience COVID, the near need for interconnectedness becomes even more important. People are feeling disconnected, and when we're able to share heart to heart, we can feel that interconnectedness with others. which gives us a feeling of hope. And this funny kind of way where this terrible disease, very literally, we can give it to each other, and we also can support each other in the midst of it. So thank you for that sharing. I want to honor our time. We want to just talk for a very few minutes about where we go from here, and remembering our intention is to support you in really taking on these habits of the heart. These are habits, that means you need to practice them, and this is a practicing community. You practice meditation and yoga and all kinds of wonderful things, so we're going to be practicing with these. So this homework, Judith is going to be sending it to you right after this session, so you don't have to worry about any of this, but we wanted to sort of talk a little bit about just the general format. It's the application of the learning. So Nancy is screen sharing this. Each week there will be an adventure of the week, and this coming week it's to think of someone in your life that you come into contact with but might not know that well. See if you can find out one thing about them that you didn't know that's meaningful to them. So this is, everything here is totally optional, and we've tried to give you a lot of different things to choose some so that what speaks to you, you'll want to do and be excited about doing. So we're going to encourage you moving on down, extending the learning. If you haven't started journal, this week we're looking at the whole take a few minutes a day to think about where you're experiencing interconnectedness in your life. We're giving you, and we will do this each week, poems and scripture readings to reflect on. There's a poem here, Wandering Around the Albuquerque Airport, and there's a link there to a wonderful reading of that by the author. So you can read that poem and reflect on it. Each week we'll have scripture reading for you to work with if you would like to do that. We're also encouraging everyone to find and pay attention to any news stories going on that demonstrate this reality of we're all in this together. We're also offering you additional video clips to watch for you to view and reflect on. And then of course, there's also the reading for the following week. So again, these are just all invitations. We want this for you to be a fun deepening and exploration. And that's how this will work. So, Nancy, did I leave anything out before we turn it over to our moderator?
Not a thing left out, Georgia. Not one thing.
Right. Okay, great. So at this point, we will thank you, everyone. I love this group and have loved being with you. And thank you once again, Lois, for your wonderful presentation, very heart-filling for all of us. And we will now turn it over to our moderator to end our session together.
Okay. Well, I want to thank you, Lois, and thanks to Georgia and Nancy for quickening our instinct to seek the common good and for giving us the tools to do it. You know, we all love sitting and getting a stream of good information from our speakers, but truthfully, that's mostly head work. Practicing our thinking and feeling and speaking in this whole way of habits of the heart is like putting on the armor of God. These next 4 weeks give us a unique opportunity to really add these habits to our personal repertoire. And I wanted, before we close this morning, to note another interesting grassroots endeavor, a lot like this one, that I learned about from my daughter, Bishop Traquair, yesterday. You can check it out on betterangels.org. The name is drawn from Abraham Lincoln's reference to the better angels of our nature, spoken in a speech by him at a similar time in our history. Better angels have recently changed their corporate name to braver angels because it takes courage to engage with respect and honesty, Lois's chutzpah and humility. You'll find them under either name online, and you'll learn that we're all doing this same kind of thing together. Years ago, I wrote down a quote from Parker Palmer that I used as a bookmark for a long time. It seems especially relevant this morning. The past isn't fixed and frozen in place. Instead, its meaning changes as life unfolds and we see and think in new ways. So please join us next Thursday on October the 15th for another adventure in strengthening our ways of thinking and seeing with these new habits of the heart. And I'll be turning my role as moderator over to other members of our steering committee in the coming weeks of the series. You'll be in the capable hands of Michael Dean next week. We'll see you then. Thank you.